Have a couple of guests joining us here in the studios this morning. Marlene Hummel and Rich Perry are in with us this morning, and they were recently part of a mission trip to Haiti that we wanted to visit a little bit about their experiences and maybe how you can help and experience that yourself. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in. We do appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the trip. The trip is a non-denominational opportunity for folks, and there were how many that took advantage of this?
There were seven of us this year that went from Atlantic, and we went to the UCI area of Cayman, Haiti, is where we went. It's 65 miles up in the mountains from Port-au-Prince. The missionary there is Christy and John. Christy is a young lady from Orange City, Iowa. John is a native Haitian. They met each other while she was down there on mission work, got married, and came back to the U.S. where she got her degree in nursing and he got his degree in theology. And in 2005, they went back with 3 months' worth of living finances to see where they could go.
While they have been making huge changes in Cayman, Haiti, they not only have been working in their own community, but John has been training pastors out into the different communities. And after the earthquake, they've started an elementary school. This fall, there will be 769 children starting school September 5th in a preschool to seventh grade Christian private school that they have built.
It's interesting to see how they build a school, because they not only build the building, but they also build the school, because they started with one class and each year have added a class. And they basically try to hold it at 100 students per year or per class. So
I want to ask you, Marlene, why did you decide to get involved in this? Why did you decide to do this in the first place?
That's a family question, because my daughter called and said, I have two granddaughters that have heard John and Christy speak, and they want to go to the mission, and we can't because we have a little one, so would you and Dad take them and go with them? So we did, and that was in 2009, and this year was our fifth trip of going to the same location, which is really amazing to be able to see all the advances and the improvements and the changes that have occurred over those 7 years.
Absolutely. Rich, how about you? Why did you decide to do this?
Oh, I have a little family background, too. My sis was doing mission work in Haiti for the past 25 years. She tried to get me to go down, but hers was all in the medical area. I never felt qualified, and back along 2012, she was determined to was determined that she had pancreatic and liver cancer, and I decided it was time for little brother to pick up and go, and I've been going ever since. She's since passed away, but we did get to confer about Haiti 1 year. So that's
very good. So you continue on the tradition,
right,
too. A lot of family history there. What type of work are you doing when you get there? What are you helping with? Because I know you've had a little over a half dozen folks or so that went, 8 to 10 folks that went with you. And it looks like you have folks that have a lot of different types of expertise and experience.
Anyone that's interested, anyone that has any gift or skill can be, their gifts can be used. We've done many things. One of them is we've taught vacation Bible school for about 120 children, and anyone can do that. You have to help little ones with their crafts, and we put a skit together, and it's just they just love that opportunity to hear a story and to get to make a craft or do something and to feed them. We've poured a cement floor, which is a great improvement for the family's health, because when they sleep on a dirt floor during the rainy season, that is a good opportunity for tapeworms and things to take their health. So a cement floor, we've poured a cement floor every year that we've gone. Sometimes we've done more than one. So what a joy to see on their face when they are so thrilled to get a cement floor in their house. And they have to help. It's not a give it to them. They have to haul all the water. They have to haul the sand. They have to provide labor. And we pay for the cement, but we go help too. Mm-hmm. So we do it together.
Rich, what about you? What do you enjoy the most out of this? What tasks do you enjoy?
Oh, I enjoy the concrete work very much. It's something different, and it's something that I grew up doing some of. The whole trip itself, I think, Jim, the thing that I enjoy the most is seeing the joy of the Haitian people. We here have happiness which relies on things and happenings. They have a joy in their heart, which is Jesus Christ living within them. Literally, they beam with joy. They haven't got the possessions that we have, but they don't need them. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing what you can do with and what you can do without. Yes. But in some cases, you need certain things just to survive. And that's sometimes what you guys are providing are just some of the most basic of necessities.
Absolutely. One of the areas that we work hard in or have in years past, we didn't give any goats this year, but
chickens.
We did chickens. Yes, we certainly did chickens. In fact, that figures into the people that went with us this year. Fred Kay, the chicken farmer out east of town, went down with us this year. And we were able to help construct one of two chicken houses. We left money to dig a well to provide the water for the chickens. And we left enough money to buy three batches of chickens and the feed to feed them out. It's about a 6.5-week process. And with the profits that should be able to be realized from those first three batches, that should give them enough to buy batch four freestanding so that it'll be self-sustaining. And that's the goal of the missions there, is to get everything going as much as possible so it does self-sustain.
I interrupted Rich about the goats, and he started to tell you about the opportunity that we have. Usually every year we buy goats, and with those goats, we started in 09 doing it, and those goats, the mother goat has to deliver that baby. The first female goes back to the mission, and it is passed on to another family, so it's a ongoing pay it forward type system, and then they can raise as many goats or they can eat them. They can do whatever they need after they have paid back the one that they got. In 2012 we bought 21 goats, and we had a young man named Benji that had a 4-H group, I would call it. That's what people here would relate to it. But they were raising vegetables in their gardens and then going to the market and selling them. And with those funds, they bought their school supplies. But they were learning how to raise these vegetables and things. Well, Benji took those 21 goats and they got them on a pasture. And then he invested his funds and he bought a little more pasture. And it's just kept going forward and forward and forward. And Benji has, his dream was to have enough goats to have a meat processing plant that he could sell safe meat to the local people. And that's not a very common thing to say. There's no refrigeration or anything. So Benji bought a refrigerator, a freezer, had some assistance with a generator. And this year when we went down, he was so happy to show us his delivery vehicle, which is a motorcycle with a wagon kind of on the back, and two employees, because it's been a big success.
Awesome.
And he's expanding. He's doing well.
This is a young man that is just a terrific entrepreneur, but he also is such a beautiful human being as far as the way he looks at his community and keeping it safe and helping. While he was waiting to start this meat processing plant, the building that he had constructed was not able to be used for that yet. And what he did was he brought the neighborhood kids out to that area and gave them English lessons. Now, these are kids that can't afford to go to school, and yet he was teaching them English, which is going to give them a hand up on later life.
Well, it's kind of neat to know that you're teaching, like this gentleman, you're teaching them skills, and then when you're gone, they're kind of teaching others too.
Yes,
and so
exactly.
The outreach continues even after you've left. You mentioned Fred. Who else went with you? We should give some credit to those folks who went.
Well, Dr. Burkhardt, although we didn't see him too much because he was really busy. We'd arrived at the compound at about 11:30, and by 12:30 he had been called to do some stitching. He treated, I don't know, we thought somewhere around 125, 130 patients while he was there. So he didn't see some of the community and do some of the things that we did because he was treating patients. But they have a new medical clinic that was just completed. And right now they're waiting for approval from the ministry, of health department. And so therefore it can only be stocked by or operated by volunteers. So that's what he did. And we were very blessed that he was able and had help from the hospital. We purchased some medical supplies to take down for him to use, and the hospital was very helpful in helping us do that and to take those supplies that he needed and could use and left with them. So,
very good. The reason we're talking about this is a trip that's already happened, and you've already done the good work. If folks are inspired by anything that we've been talking about here, and they think that it's something that might be an opportunity that they may want to take advantage of to help others, they have an opportunity to learn more.
They sure do. This Sunday, September 11th at 7 p.m., we are going to have the opportunity for the community to meet the missionaries themselves. John and Christy will both be here, and the meeting will be at St. Paul's Lutheran. And it's just a tremendous opportunity to learn more about the events that we see going on and what we do.
You bet. And to get their questions answered.
And we would love to have anyone come and visit with us and visit with them so that they would know a little bit more. We kind of have our dates set for next year, and we would love to have you join us.
Those dates for next year's trip are actually May 31st to June 8th, 2017. It is definitely a non-denominational, Christ-centered experience of a lifetime and will guarantee to change your life and the lives of others through it.
Sounds like it has yours.
It sure has.
It definitely has.
and hopefully those of others that aren't coming back to the United States afterward, those folks that you're helping there. Again, that event is Sunday, September 11th, 7 p.m. That's at St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in Atlantic, and everyone is welcome to come on by and just come in with just a little bit of open time and a little bit of an open mind and find out more about what's happened and how you can be a part of all that. Thanks for coming in, Rich, Marlene. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much.